This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
A man claiming to have a bomb near the U.S. Capitol, finally in custody after a standoff and chaos persisting at the Kabul airport. Boy, oh boy, that evacuation has been a nightmare, to say the least. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. Whether you're a first timer or you've been here a long time, we threw out the red carpet for all of you. Right here from the get-go, all the opinions, I think, from east to west and everywhere in between, are about not only what's happening with the booster shot and the coronavirus, the Delta variant, kids going back to school, and some other things in between. It's what we're seeing still out of Afghanistan, and what does it all mean? Senator Tom Cotton today on one of the networks talking about the situation and seeing what was happening. Here was his take.
Harris, the situation around the Kabul airport is getting worse by the day. It's not getting better. John Kirby stressed how many flights are landing and we have control of the tarmac, but it is total violent chaos outside of the airport. Contrary to Joe Biden, who was on TV this morning claiming that the Taliban is cooperating with us, my office has been in touch with dozens of people on the ground outside the airport where the Taliban are beating people indiscriminately, taking their passports, taking their visa papers. All of this is happening just a few yards away from the gates, and American soldiers are not allowed to venture beyond that perimeter to try to secure American citizens who are making their way through these crowds, through Taliban goons, to get into the airport. So it may be true that the tarmac is under control, but that doesn't do any good for the thousands of American citizens who our government just told again cannot be guaranteed safe passage to the airport. That has to change. It has to change today.
Wow. So imagine the mayhem at the airport outside of it, as Cotton said. So great that it's okay at the tarmac, but getting there, and then we know the take is we can't help you get there. You got to get there. So lots of people are saying that they had gotten confusing signals from the U.S. about exactly how they were supposed to leave, talking about the emails from the State Department urging them to go to the airport, only to find there was no one to receive them or even answer any questions about how to board flights. There was a story of a 39-year-old librarian, a dual U.S.-Afghan citizen, who said, "We arrived at 6 a.m. He came with his wife and two children after getting an email invitation from the State Department and said that the gate did not open. There was no person to address the concerns. At one point waiting, the man, who, like many others, said he feared retribution, and he was whipped by a Taliban fighter." So, yes, Cotton is right. There still is chaos at the airport, and it comes as this would normally be the Afghans marking their traditional Independence Day. So there were some demonstrators waving the country's red, black, and green national flag, marching through the streets of Kabul. But protests are emerging all over the place, challenging the Taliban, because they're flying a different banner, the white banner. The flag is different now. The identity is different now. And the chaos is absolutely 100% there. There are searches that are being conducted to track down former Afghan security officials and people who might have worked with the U.S. or NATO forces. Imagine that. What do? Cower somewhere and try to pray that you're not taken away? Taliban militants, it's true, are going house to house, setting up checkpoints, threatening to arrest or kill relatives of collaborators in major cities. And at risk are people who were in central positions in the military, police, investigative units, all of those people. They are in the thick of it. And it's not just in Kabul. Of course, it's inside all of the major cities. They're screening people, though, outside the Kabul airport. That's happening. So would-be passengers and people involved in the evacuation effort say it's terrifying, just like I described, the man getting the email, except trying to get his family out. They're waiting to get on one of those flights, and people are traumatized, dehydrated, in some cases injured because they've been whipped by the Taliban, and it's pretty ugly. And you look at the numbers of departures, and they're gaining some pace, which is good, but it's still way below the capacity. So it shows the difficulty for people just to make the planes. The Pentagon officially is saying the military could be evacuating 5,000 to 9,000 people per day from Afghanistan as soon as it has that many people approved each day for departure. But really, in the last 24-hour period, only a little more than 2,000 people, including almost 300 Americans, made it out of Kabul safely, flying on 12 C-17 planes. So there was a deal, apparently, that was reached with the Taliban to provide safe passage to American citizens into the airport. But there are reports that, okay, you have a deal, but it must not be working. So the reports that they can't get to the gates still is the same. You have Taliban fighters firing into the air, trying to control crowds, or in some cases flat out shooting at people, just shooting at people. So it is absolutely chaos. You know, Afghans arriving at the airport have even been turned away by our troops, right? Because they're trying to help the departure and they're trying to separate those that can depart and have those visas and the others. So it's mayhem, folks. That's what it is. And it's very, very sad to see it. And what is the answer ultimately to this? The answer is the promise that all Americans will get out. And there was misinformation originally that most of the Americans had gotten out, and that was anything but true. There are still many, many Americans who are trapped. And now it's a question of a different government and dealing with the Taliban and dealing with whatever they say is happening, and how do you trust that? Oof. All right, I have to squeeze this in here, and then we've got an incredible guest that we're going to bounce to in our next segment as we continue to talk about Afghanistan. He's a former U.S. diplomat, a U.S. special agent who conducted and managed covert ops relating to national security and transnational crime and money laundering, and he was in Afghanistan, and he knows Afghanistan well, and we're going to talk about what happened with him and what he sees as happening as well. But here's the thing that happened at the Capitol. For the third time in 8 months, Washington brought to a standstill as our government came under the threat of violence, this time from a man who parked a truck near the Capitol, demanding to speak with President Biden about a lot of things he was upset about, a lot of list of grievances, and threatened to destroy two blocks of the Capitol with an explosive device. So congressional office buildings, nearby houses were evacuated, as you had the authorities there, which would be the Capitol Police, the D.C. police, negotiating with the man and identifying him ultimately as Floyd Roseberry from North Carolina. He eventually surrendered after 5 hours. Of course, he's going to face criminal charges. No bomb was found in his car, although they say they did discover materials that could be used to make explosives. Eric Caron coming up next here on the show.
America, do you want to win the spiritual war against the demons currently attacking our land? Step one comes from the Bible. Lay down the law by resting on the law and do your resting on our pillowcases printed with His Ten Commandments. Find them at ProjectPillowTalk.com. Don't sleep on this message. Go to ProjectPillowTalk.com or call us at 877-289-7439. When you call, ask to receive another powerful spiritual weapon, free, a CD packed with the secrets of forgiveness using all the instruments of praise written in the Bible, free with your order of our Ten Commandments. Climate Pillowcases from ProjectPillowTalk.com. Shipping is free, too, so call or click 877-289-7439 or ProjectPillowTalk.com. Get your Ten Commandment pillowcases for only $29.95 per set and watch the darkness flee from the light.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to Facebook.com/Buy Black Summit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, Facebook.com/Buy Black Summit. Talking about the situation in Afghanistan, Eric Karen joins us. I mentioned this before. I mean, quite an interesting background he has. Think about this, 25 years as a former U.S. diplomat, U.S. special agent, a guy who managed and conducted all kinds of covert operations, of course, relating to national security, transnational crime, money laundering. We could talk to him for probably five shows. And he held senior spots with Homeland Security and Interpol, and he's also the author of Switched On, The Heart and Mind of a Special Agent, and he has spent time in Afghanistan. Eric, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, Kate, great to be on with you. Look forward to this conversation. It's really important that the folks out there understand how serious the situation is right now.
Yeah, let's talk about your thoughts on what you now have seen that's been happening, especially how quickly Kabul fell.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, Kate, that for the last 20 years, Afghanistan's been led by a crime syndicate. It's been led by an organized crime syndicate and masquerading as a government. And unfortunately, the U.S. government has known this for the last 20 years. And the biggest source of corruption in Afghanistan, sadly, and it pains me to say this, was the U.S. government. Because what were we doing in Afghanistan? We were fueling the Afghan officials with money, corrupt officials with money. They were on the CIA payroll, and I spent time in Afghanistan, and it pains me to see what's going on there today because it didn't have to happen.
Yeah, and as you said, it didn't have to happen. What do you mean? What could have been done differently? Just not allow that to fester and not have that government that we prop up?
Yeah, Yeah, basically that's what we did. I mean, we propped up a corrupt government for all these years. We knew it. And we turned a blind eye to it. And part of it was, in my humble opinion, was this, you know, Eisenhower said it best in 1961, right, in his farewell address to the nation, beware of the military-industrial complex. And his main concern was what? That the military-industrial complex, you know, military industry would have, you know, undue influence on the government policymakers. And, you know, trillions of dollars was spent in Afghanistan on arms and munitions and weaponry. We paid bad guys that we knew were involved in drug operations and as well as money laundering. And we gave them money so they could be on our payroll, so they could give us information that supposedly was going to help us. But, of course, it didn't. And we fueled the situation in Afghanistan all these years. And meaning we aided and abetted corrupt officials. And, you know, we're on the verge of 9/11. This pales in comparison, if I may say so. We're on the brink, and this is not hyperbole, but when you stop and think of the situation in the Middle East right now, with Iran, Afghanistan, and the reach of these would-be terrorists now who run these countries, we're on the brink of potential World War III. And, you know, some people will say, well, you can't say that. But I'm here tonight to say, if we're not careful, in the coming months and years, we will be talking about another world war coming out of the Middle East.
You know, I call it the quicksand of the Middle East, and you know better than I because you were in the middle of the quicksand. What happened the last time you were in Afghanistan?
So, Kate, I was, you know, again, talking about money laundering, you know, in 2009 and 2010, the Obama administration sent agents into Afghanistan, and I was one of the agents to lead a money laundering training initiative, because billions, with a B, billions of money was fleeing out of Afghanistan in cash into Dubai, where I was the attaché for Homeland Security. I led the office in Dubai, covering Dubai and the Northern Emirates. Billions of dollars in cash was flying out of Afghanistan into Dubai. Mm. So Obama, because of the New York Times and others reported on it, they decided to try to do something about it, to, you know, put a Band-Aid on it. So they said, okay, we'll send agents there to conduct training and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it was really just a Band-Aid. In fact, I had officials coming up to me during this training seminar really saying, hey, it's not us at this level. It's the president of Afghanistan and his family and others who are corrupt, and we want to do something. We want to save our nation, but these officials will not allow it. And they were right. They were absolutely right. You know, we trained officials. They conducted a major arrest of an individual who was close to the president of Afghanistan at the time. And they arrested this individual. They, with our training and the help of others on the ground, the Afghan police arrested this individual close to the president of Afghanistan at the time. And within hours, he was let go. And he was let go. And he was the CIA. He worked for the CIA. And it's been well documented, Kate, that this individual was on the CIA's payroll along with others, and millions of dollars was, in fact, given to these corrupt officials by the CIA. And so while I risked my life in spending some time there training them about anti-money laundering initiatives and how to conduct anti-money laundering investigations, the other part of our government was undermining us. and actually fueling the corrupt officials.
Wow. You know, and you think about it, and what is it like? Ooh, just stay pat, whatever we have to do to make things calm over there in the Middle East, and just keep playing that same hand out. We have a couple of minutes left, you know, and you talk about on the being on the brink of another world war. What do you think has to happen? How do we stop that?
Well, you know, fighting corruption wasn't just a humanitarian or governance priority. It should have been the key to winning the war in Afghanistan, and we didn't do that. So we have to understand as a nation, if we're going to send our precious, you know, sons and daughters overseas to you know, win the war, if you will, and we have to stomp out corruption, number one, and that has to be the number one priority. And understand, you know, globalization, we're all connected now through globalization, okay, that what happens in Afghanistan today affects the rest of the world tomorrow. And I call it the three T's. I coined it as trade, travel, and telecommunication, the three T's. And we have to understand that we're all connected now. And so it's, you know, yeah, people will say, forget Afghanistan. Forget about it. Let them handle it. But you know what? We now have a country controlled entirely by a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
That should frighten everyone.
Yeah, it frightens me. Eric, we'll have you back on again. I want to tell people to go to switchedonlife.com to find out more about your book and more about you. And you were terrific for spending time with us. And again, thanks for shedding some light. And we'll have you back on again.
Thank you, Kate. It's always a privilege and an honor. I look forward to it. And please stay switched on.
I will. Thanks, Eric. Wow. Think about that, what he said, the three T's. And he's right. That's why you cannot say we can't pay attention. That's why I said this show is about the buzz in your backyard and mine, and the buzz is over this. And he's absolutely 100% right. We can't just bury our head in the sand on this, so to speak, because we are absolutely in the thick of it. So while you're watching that chaos and you say, well, you know, that's hey, that's over there, think about how quickly things could affect us here and already are behind the scenes. All right, I'll meet you in a few round the bend.
For 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As U.S. forces work to secure the Kabul airport in Afghanistan, the situation outside the perimeter has been described as chaos. USA's John Clemens reports.
In one part of Afghanistan, a rally in honor of the country's Independence Day from Great Britain in 1919, turned into a protest against the Taliban takeover that was quickly put down by the terrorists. Those trying to flee the country have been met with resistance as they tried to make it to the airport. To seek freedom, Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, expressed his frustration.
There was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this Army and this government in 11 days.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Radio News. A man in a pickup truck parked near the Library of Congress on Capitol Hill and told police he had a bomb.
Floyd Roy Rosenberry from Grover, North Carolina, was taken into custody without incident.
Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger says officers had been trying for hours to talk to him.
Over the course of time, we tried to negotiate with Mr. Rosenberry. We first started doing that with a whiteboard, just writing messages back and forth. We used a robot to get a telephone down to him. But he would not use the telephone.
Negotiations lasted for about 5 hours. In North Carolina, two people have died and dozens are missing after flooding caused by Tropical Storm Fred. Now as a post-tropical cyclone, Fred is drenching New England and New York. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Grace passed over the Yucatan Peninsula and into open waters. It's expected to return to hurricane strength before striking Mexico a second time this weekend. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Turned. That's all I'll say about the Jeopardy host, Mike Richards, who's now already had to issue an apology for some podcast comments. Boy, it is hard to replace a legend, isn't it, in Alex Trebek. So topping odds and ends, you know, he's the new host of the show, and he had to apologize after a number of derogatory remarks about little people, Jews, people receiving unemployment benefits, and other comments about women, sexist comments that he made. And, of course, this was splashed all over the place. Richards was the executive producer of the game before being named the full-time replacement for Trebek. He made these comments back in 2013 and 2014. He was on a podcast, The Random Show, which he hosted, and it was a peek behind the scenes of The Price is Right. He was the co-executive producer at the time. It was something that he, a lot of times, I guess, recorded from his office. There was 41 episodes in all. And there was a group called The Ringer, and they reviewed all the episodes. So this is coming from them. They went through all the episodes. Now, all of the episodes that they found these comments on, apparently, they've since been removed. And I guess he made a number of comments that I said about two younger women if they'd take nude photos of themselves, and complaining that one-piece bathing suits made women look frumpy and overweight. And then there was other episodes where he called his co-host a derogatory term, you know, and there were these audio excerpts that were shared, so those are out there. And he made a bunch of these different comments that you can't dispute because they're, you know, So they're there. And immediately, once all that started to surface, of course, he said, "It is humbling to confront a terribly embarrassing moment of misjudgment, thoughtlessness, and insensitivity from nearly a decade ago. Looking back now, there is no excuse, of course, for the comments I made on the podcast. I'm deeply sorry." He released that statement. He said the podcast was intended to be a series of irreverent conversations between longtime friends who had a history of joking around. "Even with the passage of time, it's more than clear that my attempts to be funny and provocative weren't acceptable. I've removed the episodes. My responsibilities today as a father, husband, and public personality who speaks to many people through my role on television means I have substantial and serious obligations as a role model, and I intend to live up to them." Before he was announced as the new host last week, he defended himself against other allegations he mistreated people in a previous role with The Price is Right. So Jeopardy, by the way, is filming new episodes on Thursday. LeVar Burton, Aaron Rodgers, and former Jeopardy champ Ken Jennings were among the people seen as frontrunners, remember, to replace Alex Trebek as host of the long-running popular quiz show. And this is a show that he's supposed to host nightly, or he is hosting nightly. And, boy, so just imagine, you know, this is the world we live in. No matter, it's exactly what he said, that he apologized for what happened a decade ago, and they were definitely comments that were out there. There is a vault, and the vault has all these things in them. So, at 46, and as the host of the episode, you know, whatever it was, 41 episodes, it was there for anyone to look at the background of, wow, what, you know, what's happened to him. See, once you especially get on that level where you think of Jeopardy, you think, well, it's a game show, right? No, it's a show that is so popular and cuts across different generations that it is one of those shows that puts you definitely right there in the public eye. And now, because of that too, more things are coming out about things that happened in the past with him. So now I wonder if he's on at all shaky ground, because just 3% of the game show's viewers said Richards was their preferred replacement for Alex Trebek anyway. Remember, there was that whole thing of, okay, you had all these different hosts that were there and, you know, that filled in. Because how do you replace a legend? I mean, you have that many people saying that. You had 47% of viewers saying they approved of the selection of him as the host. 70% said the same. 70% said the same of Mayim Bialik, who's an actress, who is a neuroscientist too, by the way, who apparently really struck a chord. People liked her. And LeVar Burton was the guest host that was most favored by viewers. And then Ken Jennings was right up there too. So after all that time of auditioning and trying to figure out who to replace Trebek, Sony Pictures answered the biggest question of the quiz show when they announced that Richards would take over as the daily host of Jeopardy. And so now you have this coming out, and you just kind of wonder if that shakes the stage a little bit or not. Or you just, hey, this was something that happened in the past, we move on, that's it. Or something different ends up happening because of that. Because you think of other things that have happened to game show hosts and others, again, in the public eye. And we saw what happened with Chris Harrison, who left a popular show, which, by the way, I never watched. I have seen, because they show so many clips of it, but this crazy Bachelor show that's amazingly popular. I mean, that's the scoop, right? It might not be my kind of show, but it was popular. And Chris Harrison, who forever was the guy who led that show, had to leave because he came under fire for something, you know, that he did. He defended a former contestant's what people called racist behavior. And that was some of what he said would seemingly be innocuous as they were moving along. But then when you go back and look at it, that's what ended up stinging him. And he was the host for like 20 years. So he had to step aside in, like, I want to say it was February. And, you know, he defended a contestant who was shown in photos going to an antebellum plantation themed fraternity formal in 2018 and came under fire for that. And he, in his interview, he expressed sympathy for her and implied that the criticism directed against her was unfair because the photos were from the past. And, you know, that's, this is the thing. She said it was not, you know, a good look. And, you know, because of the time period, et cetera. And he said, well, is it a good look in 2018 or is it not a good look in 2021? There's a big difference, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, so he admitted he made a mistake in interviews afterwards, but it wasn't enough to really stop him from not stepping away from the show. And you think of how long he had been there. So, wow, we have so many serious things happening in the world, right? Scary things like what we talked to Eric Karen about just a segment ago and what's happening in Afghanistan. But what I call the kind of the pleasure cruise of the mind where you're just chillaxing and it's about watching a game show or watching a sporting event or going to a concert. Remember those days when you used to go to concerts and escaping whatever it is, not ignoring what's happening, but just having a little bit of fun and escaping. You can't even escape some of what's happening and what the blowback is out there in the world. And obviously in Jeopardy's case, you know, it's got to be this homework thing where you go back and you know the world we live in and you look at the sensitivity levels of where we're at compared to what used to be and you think, wow, you know, all the money they get from sponsorships, etc., you think that they would really comb through some of the background, I guess, you know, right? All right, in the meantime, we move from television shows to Grace. That, you know who Grace is, right? Here we go again. We're in the middle of hurricane season. So Grace weakened to a tropical storm, but it's expected to hit Mexico again as a hurricane. You know, some people are taking these last-minute vacations, trying to do anything to get away. There are plenty of Americans that are in Cancun, Cozumel, and some other places. They're under a hurricane warning because Grace became better organized as it moved west, smashing into Jamaica and the Cayman Islands. So heavy rain expected through Friday over the Yucatan Peninsula. There's going to be flash flooding, which will also hit some of those urban areas, not just the low-lying areas that are somewhat removed from more of the capital cities. The storm is going to be south of Texas, right? I feel like I have to have a weather degree anymore when I come on the show. But if there are any impacts, it should be minor, should be, I say minor, because I can't control where a storm veers to, but it's looking that way because it weakened to a tropical storm and then it's regaining that hurricane strength coming toward the Gulf Coast of Mexico, you know, at this point. So there's going to be storm surge. Water levels are going to be up 3-5 feet, that kind of thing, along the coast of mainland Mexico. And, again, some of these areas are areas where you have Americans. So you've got tourists and they're evacuating them. I know a lot of people, it's pretty interesting, that have spent time in Tulum. It's supposed to be incredible, like a slice of heaven. And hotels there have been evacuated. Tourists have been taken to different hotel shelters. It's that bad. They wanted to get everybody out because of the high risk. Coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to a guy who was an actor. He turned writer, and he has an interesting story to share with us. Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/BuyBlackSummit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, facebook.com, Buy Black Summit.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. Silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at Silverlungs.com. That's Silverlungs.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Corner, Jan Knotson joins us. He's written a couple of books, Suffer Not the Mole People, the ID Paradox, or it might be the ID. Is it the ID Paradox?
It is the ID Paradox.
Yeah. I see ID and I'm like, oh, ID, it's the ID Paradox. So, yeah. So let's talk about the road to writing both of these books. What made you write the books? How did you decide, I've got these stories to tell and I'm going to write these books?
Well, you know, the Suffer Not the Mole People, it basically was my ancestors' immigration from Poland to Texas, actually. I think I just wrote it because I thought it would be an interesting story. I barely had any information, historical information. As I point out in the prologue, you know, historical information was as thin as the skin of a soap bubble. So it was just a fascinating case doing the research about life in Poland in the 19th century, the partitions where it was taken over by Prussia, Russia, and Austria. And, you know, what life was like. And I just thought it would be an interesting story.
Yeah, and you talk about that. I mean, listen, you talk about what would it be like to have to leave? What would it be like to board a ship and...
I can't imagine.
Yeah, and be squirreled away. And you described this, and it makes me think of so many of our ancestors, squirreling away in the bowels. And that's what you're doing. And you're going through the English Channel. You're crossing the Atlantic Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico to finally arrive in Texas. And then once you get there, what was that like? And you talk about a grandfather, and you talk about a family, and you talk about, you know, what happens. You talk about one, this stuck with me, one night in the dead of winter, I had to finish household chores early. I had to sneak out of the house without anyone noticing. And then you talk about the village and what that was like. And it's just wild to think about it. Was it fun for you to weave this into a tale?
You know, Kate, it's quite interesting. I had just lost my sister, and we had sold our ancestral home. And put me into a considerable depression. So at first I couldn't write anything at all, but I think I put that sense of loss into the story. The protagonist is obviously Alexander Kaczmarek, the young genius who is basically abused by his older brother and sister. You know, it's typical sibling rivalry, although it's a little bit nastier than the normal kind of sibling rivalry. And, I think I just put all of that angst that I had into the story.
What do you hope people take away from reading Suffer Not the Mole People?
That's very interesting, Kate. I want people to, honestly, I want people to take away whatever they get out of it. It deals with issues of family and the importance of family, which I only recently came to realize myself, because I had a similar upbringing to Alexander, at least the Alexander in the novel that I wrote.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the importance of family, and then your history, and we see how people want to know more about their history, so they're always jumping into, like, Ancestry.com, here you had it. So it's sad when you have loss, but then out of this comes a novel. All right, so let's move to the id paradox. Give us a synopsis of what that's about.
Oh, boy, that is quite a task. It concerns mainly two friends. They're actually three friends, but the relationship between Jake Kaczmarek and Artie Kavassos is primary. And I go back to something that happened to me when I was living in a pre-gentrified area of Charlotte as a rarely employed actor. I was sitting in my little 870 square foot house and heard a girl from next door screaming, "No, no." And, I went outside and this guy was dragging her by her hair. And I went to intervene, but I intervened trying to appeal to this guy's better nature. Well, guys that would drag a girl by her hair don't have a better nature. And the next thing I remember clearly is when they were sewing up my lip in the hospital. And I realized that violence is sometimes absolutely necessary. My father had said that to me when I was a young teenager. And being a young teenager, I thought, well, what, stupid old man, what does he know? And it's related, it's a subject that's treated Very often, there's an episode of Star Trek, as a matter of fact, the original, when Kirk is split into two different sides of his personality, the good Kirk and the evil Kirk. And the upshot of the episode is that both are necessary in him to be the great James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
It's also treated in a movie called A History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
You know, he has to have that capacity for violence, or all of those people in the restaurant would be dead. You know, and the waitress raped, horribly raped and killed, and, you know, sometimes, and that's the id, that very primitive part of us. And Jake realizes that part of himself, and he can't deal with it. It tortures him.
Yeah, and that's the book, and that's exactly what the book is. You described it so well. We only have a couple of minutes left, but you mentioned you were a one-time actor. I mean, you're coming up on your sixth book, but you're a one-time actor, Another World, Matlock. What was it like to work on Matlock?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, Andy Griffith is hilarious. He teases people. He loves to tease all of the women and that work there. And he's just a fun guy. And you know, it's just great, a great character. You know, a sleazy lawyer I got to play, which was fun. That was a great experience.
Yeah, and then you were in the soap opera, Another World, and soap operas. Boy, you got to memorize a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, and when I was young, it was very, very easy. It's not quite so easy anymore.
And then you're coming up on this sixth book, like I said, so how exciting. So playwriting, novelist, you grew up in Texas, and that's what, you know, we talked about in that first book. And then you go to the Big Apple, and now you're in Charlotte, North Carolina. So is life a little slower or fun or more time to smell the roses in Charlotte?
You know, New York City is the greatest city in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Without question. But not everybody is cut out for it. And I was not cut out. And I was there for 10 years, and I never felt at home. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with New York City. It's just not for everybody.
Yeah. So then you make your way to Charlotte. I love it. You can get the books, of course, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Jan, thank you so much, Jan Knotson, for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.